Springfield, and the surrounding areas. Also, live streaming worldwide at www.kpdw.org.
Is. Talk is cheap on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, independent community radio, also streaming online at KEPW.org. I'm using mic one, mic two, because mic one's not working, so bear with me here. All right, so for the month of July, KEPW LP 97.3 FM Peaceworks Community Radio is celebrating its fourth year putting youth voices on the air with the Youth Radio Project. Our Youth Radio Festival will include their in-person celebration on July 24th, that's today at 6, and virtual youth appreciation concert July 25th, co-sponsored by MEPA, Girls Rock, Kids Rock, and Muse Art. We're live streaming these youth events on the air and on Facebook, along with more youth voices playing daily all month. Go to Youth Radio Project page, the Youth Radio Project page, or our Facebook group, Friends of KPW, for more info. All right, and we're also regular youth. We also have regular youth segments in our weekly news shows from 6 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. Sunday, repeating Monday and Wednesday. And our citywide Latinx youth show, Las Voces, at 3:30 p.m. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Thursday, and 1 p.m. Fridays. A youth radio hour at 6 p.m. on Saturdays, and individual youth productions producers for two shows currently Different Isn't Wrong by 12-year-old Kaylin at 6 p.m. on Fridays, and Beyond the Binary after that at 6:30 p.m. with Morgan. For July only, enjoy Youth Voices also at 11 a.m. on Tuesdays, on Mama's Just Saying Sundays at 3 p.m., and Legalized Survival 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays. For information on specific interviews, see Youth Radio Project page. That's at kepw.org. All right, so that's today. We're launching that today at 6 p.m., tonight at 6 p.m., and tomorrow on the 25th. At 6 p.m., so tune in for that. All right, so today I got some stuff on community gardens and some more ranting from me, organizing some more interviews for you, so I hope you keep listening. I've got Keith McHenry will be, his interview will be played in, not next week, but the following week, while I'm down interviewing David Singleton of Discipline Global Mobile at the King Crimson concert at the Greek Theater. So all that's coming up on Talk is Cheap. Support independent media. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. All right, the show's Talk is Cheap on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kpw.org. All right, like I say, today I've got a thing I recorded back when the South Central Farm issue was happening in 2002 in Los Angeles on community gardens. And, you know, if this is an area that you really want to... if you really want to make a difference, community gardens is a great way to start and network with your community. So, but first, I got a couple of rants. I just want to reiterate what I was talking about Cuba. You know, they're using Cuban exile community is protesting down there, and this is a classic example. They're doing the same thing in Ukraine. They, meaning our State Department, our the military-industrial complex. Representatives, what they're doing is fomenting a revolution, and they're doing this in Hong Kong also. This is a classic example. They're using the fascists to talk about human rights violations in Cuba, in Hong Kong, and in the Ukraine. Instead of giving human rights aid, humanitarian aid to these places, they're fomenting a revolution, and what they're going to put in power are the fascist corporate oligarchs instead of giving these places and Central America too, giving these places their own autonomy and letting them choose a government that works for them and having social programs. And however you want to do these social programs, if you can do them with capitalism, you know, I'm a that's my definition of progressive. I don't care how you do it, how you get social justice, as long as you get social justice. And usually the fascists are not the way to get social justice. So, yeah, and I get, you know, I was going to say last week, I get them all confused. I know I said it is Batista in Cuba was the fascists in Cuba. All these fascists, they all look alike to me, you know, and I don't know, is there some place that they all get their same uniforms? Is there some fascist uniform central company? Okay, so... So Jeff Bezos got into outer space this week. And I just wanted to say a little comment on that I'm not hearing on the news. I'm not impressed at all with this. If you know, if Jeff Bezos was a woman, we'd have a space elevator by now. You don't shoot a phallic symbol. That's Nazi technology. We don't need to shoot a phallic symbol through the atmosphere and destroy entire ecosystems when it lands and takes off. And a space elevator, that we have the beginnings of the technology, we could do a space elevator and use carbon fiber. No one's done research on this. I wonder if we could sequester carbon by using carbon fiber to make this giant cable that would run around the equator to do a space elevator. So if you really want to impress me, and if you really want to get people into outer space, give people rides to outer space, there's an easy, simple way to do it that would... you know, it wouldn't damage the environment too much. Although you'd have to extract a lot of stuff to build a space elevator. But, you know, the technology, it would really advance the human race and the planet, I think, if we put a space elevator. That's all I need is rooftop solar, a space elevator, you know, a King Crimson bootleg, a copy of The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, and some brown rice and beans. That's all I really need. Just rooftop solar, a space elevator, some good music. That's all I really need.
And I don't need any of this. I don't need this stuff. And I don't need you. I don't need anything except this. This ashtray. And that's the only thing I need is this. I don't need this or this. Just this ashtray. This paddle game. The ashtray and the paddle game, and that's all I need. And this remote control. The ashtray and the paddle game and the remote control, and that's all I need. These matches. The ashtray and these matches and the remote control and the paddle ball. This lamp. The ashtray. This paddle game. and the remote control and the lamp, and that's all I need. And that's all I need, too. I don't need one other thing. Not one. I need this. The battle game and the chair and the remote control and the matches for sure. Whoa, what are you looking at? What do you think? I have some kind of a jerk or something? And then, that's all I need. The hamstring, the remote control, and the back game.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff Bezos. What a jerk. Some people wanted to leave him out there in space. And I kind of agree. Imagine what you could do with all that money that he's spending. Okay, so there's another important issue that I want to talk to you about, and I'm ad-libbing this, so bear with me, is this is a scourge that is ruining society, and we need to do something about it. I'm talking about that earworm creator, Justin Bieber. Can we please, and please don't kill Justin Bieber. I mean, maybe take a lock of his hair. Maybe that would remove his power. But, I mean, this guy, he's making rhymes like holy, 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 and hold me. And, I mean, when he comes on the air, I used to not pay attention to him and not notice him. But now they just play him all the time. Please, someone stop Justin Bieber. You can stop Justin Bieber by supporting independent media. That's how you can do it. You're never going to hear someone like Justin Bieber here on independent radio. So you want to support independent media and go to kepw.org to do it and send us it monthly. It's the best thing you can do for humanity. One of the best things you can do for humanity and community gardens, which I'm going to be talking about soon, but also stopping people like Justin Bieber and supporting independent media like us is the way to stop people like Justin Bieber. Olivia Rodrigo, I don't know. That remains to be seen. I'm waiting to see if she's going to be able to sound that way in concert. I don't think so. I think she's overproduced. But yeah, Justin Bieber. Stop Justin Bieber. Support independent media. Okay, so this next song, this tune, and then I'm going to play you, like I say, I got stuff on community gardens, recorded back when during South Central Farm issue, when Rage Against the Machine played the Democratic National Convention and the Shadow Convention, because they did, the Democrats, the DNC did the same thing back then, instead of electing the right Democrat, the progressive Democrat. They elected the corporate Democrat. All right, so what this is this goes out to all you people that wanted Trump. This goes out to Donald Trump. You know, you can't fight fascism by electing a fascist. I agree we need to fight fascism. But you can't, we already tried that, and that's partly why we're in the mess that we're in right now. That doesn't work, supporting a fascist to fight fascism. So this goes out to Donald Trump, and then I've got some stuff on community gardening. Come up here on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio. Support independent media. You'll be glad you did.
After today, consider me gone. Thank you.
Okay, the show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kpwo.org, where we're featuring the Youth Radio Project today at 6, and more tomorrow at 6. So tune in for that. MIPA is an organization that gives instruments to young people to try and get new musicians. Okay, so coming up here real quick, I'm going to do, I have this thing on community gardens that I recorded back during the South Central Farm issue. All right, so let me give you just a little spiel on land reform. Land reform critical to any social justice movement, getting the land into the hands of the peasants and out of the hands of the aristocratic corporate class. I'm in the middle of reading Road to Croatoan, and I'm going to digress for a minute here. Gone to Croatoan is what his premise is that originally the Roanoke colony that disappeared, what they did is they went, there was a tree that was marked Croatoan, and what they've found out recently and gotten some DNA evidence, I think, to prove this, that the Roanoke colony, because they're a bunch of indentured servants and they're working to send stuff back to England, they just and weren't getting any support and were left there with barely any resources, they just went native. They said, to heck with this, I'm going back and live with the Indians. And so they saw another type of society where you could live and work cooperatively with each other and the environment. And so, again, and so then the revolution, according to this book, Gone to Croatoan, and a few others are saying this too, is that the original revolution, American Revolution, was done by indentured servants, slaves, and ship people, sailors, ship people or sailors, that were being forced into labor for the king of England. So this is what, it was originally a slave revolt. It wasn't the middle class so much as they were there too, but it wouldn't have succeeded without the slaves. And or their original intent would have been anarchy, was what the original intent of America would have been, according to Gone to Croatoan. And I'm still in the middle of the book. So where I'm going with this, again, is this is where the what happened with South Central Farm is there was a land speculator that owned the land on there. And, you know, it's a privilege. It's not a right to own land, whether you believe in land ownership or not. Okay, I don't want to get into that discussion. if the reason people want to take the land away from you is because you it's a privilege to own land. You have a responsibility as a landowner to your neighbors. And so what this guy did was they came up with the money to buy this property finally from the guy. And he was a land speculator. He had bought the land, and you know, the land is it's been stolen, first of all, from Native Americans, but even if you're not going that far back, it was basically held by mostly elite people. I mean, in San Bernardino, they have what's called a jackrabbit homestead they had, where if you were to live on your property for 5 years, you would own it. And I think it's far and away with that idiot Tom Cruise and his wife, where they show the land of Oklahoma, where they let everybody run and stake out a claim of land that was, of course, stolen from Native Americans. But most of it was held by railroad companies and corporations and the elite at the time. And you can research this yourself. Please do research this yourself. I'm in the middle of researching all that. But so this guy was a land speculator. Now, if he wants to argue, it's okay. He invested in this land and he wants to get a return on his money. Okay, so that's fine. But you still have a responsibility. So what he did was, they had the money to buy it from him, and this beautiful spirit that was the spokesman for the movement to gain the property of the South Central Farm, she got on the news and called him an expletive. So he rescinded the offer, and the land sat for years. I think they've just now put a warehouse on it. Now, he would argue that he did it because he had other property in the area, so he didn't want the South Central Farm would have affected the value of the property of the surrounding properties that he may or may not own. So that's his, but he took it away because he was pissed. And this is something, you know, these people are handicapped, okay? I look at them as handicapped. They've been brainwashed by the system. If you've got the money to buy the property, just go and do it. Don't get on the news and call the dude an expletive, okay? So, but like I say, this girl was a beautiful spirit. She just got carried away in the moment, and he was a real complete asshat. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that he had a responsibility to his neighbors. This is, and it's their own, they don't follow their own logic. You know, manifest destiny, we had a better use for the property. We had an immediate use that was needed immediately for the community. And we had the money to pay you for it, and you still held onto it just to gain a few extra, a little bit more profit, arguably, which I don't know that he even did. He just did it to be mean. So, but yes, but you have a responsibility. I mean, for instance, and I'm into freedom, we liberals are into freedom, but when you abuse your freedom, that's when we start regulating you. So, for instance, in England, what I understand is that you can't like put a grocery store opposite another grocery store in England. They have strict zoning laws because they don't want them in competition with each other. The example here, right here in Eugene, I won't shop at the AutoZone out there on 11th for various reasons, including that they put it right across the street from Connects. There was a local business here, a family-owned local business, and Connects comes in and AutoZone comes in and puts an auto store right across the street from Connects. So I purposely won't shop at the AutoZone on 11th here in Eugene. But the other example is in Texas, they have no zoning laws at all. And I'm told there's a guy that has a roller coaster. I've talked about this before. Put a roller coaster in a residential area next to a residence. So you have a responsibility to your neighbors and to the community when you're a landowner. And when you abuse that responsibility, that's when we end up with the zoning laws. And one other real quick story that I just thought of is when I first moved here, I had 10 acres out here on Lorraine Highway, and I started, I built a lean-to and was living in a lean-to out there. And right away, I get tagged by the county. And back then, this was in the 90s, they've become much more progressive now. But so I go down there, and the guy tells me, "This is America. We don't homestead here." And I went, "What do you mean? This is America. Everything, the whole country was homesteaded. What are you talking about?" And so what he said was, "Well, we don't want somebody making a mess, you know, with dysentery and you can get cholera. We don't want this like a third world country, and a mess that we have to the taxpayer has to come and clean up." And so, okay, that has a little bit of logic, but Anyway, just that's just an aside. This is what you get into when you're into land ownership. All right, so and the speculator, you know, it's not like the land, like his ancestors were, like they didn't give the land to the soldiers that killed the Indians to get the property. They didn't give it to them. It went to the elite. So it's not like this speculator inherited the land from a soldier that died getting the land for him. You know, he bought it at auction and then sat on it until and wanted to make his profit. So, all right, so that's my deal. Whether you believe in land ownership or not, if you're going to do land ownership, there's a responsibility that you have. And if you don't fulfill that responsibility, that's when you start getting regulated. You're telling us what to do. And that's what, it's not us telling you what to do. It's you telling us what to do. You're telling me I have to live in a toxic waste environment. And you're telling me that, you know, you have to, make, cities of boxes that no one wants to live in. So it's you that are telling us what to do. It's not us that tell you what to do. And when you abuse your power, yes, you're going to start getting regulated. Okay, so if you don't want to get regulated, don't abuse your power and work with your community and your neighbors. Okay, so here you go. This is South Central Farm, recorded in 2002 in Los Angeles. Actually, it's on Community Gardens. When I was working for killradio.org, there was a blind girl that did a great interview on the South Central Farm. So I'm looking for that tape in my archives. And hopefully I'll bring that to you soon. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Mostly information to gardeners who want to know how to start to create a community garden.
Stand by. Let me get to the beginning of that. I thought I had it queued up.
Expanded food.
All right, I pushed the wrong button. Yeah, like I say, Youth Radio Project coming up at 6. Check on that. Check that out. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
What's your name and organization?
I'm Yvonne Fabio, and I'm program manager of the Common Ground Garden Program, which is part of the University of California Cooperative Extension Office in Los Angeles County.
And so what is a community garden? Let's start with the basics.
A community garden is really any garden that has been organized and put together by a group of people who are a community, which can be pretty much generic. It can be a neighborhood lot where anybody can come and garden. It can be a backyard where a lot of people from the surrounding neighborhood are available to come. Or it even can be a more narrow definition of a garden at a homeless shelter or that's open just to a certain number of people.
Right, and so what does your organization do? What role do you play?
We are an educational and to some extent provide some supplies, but mostly information to gardeners who want to know how to start to create a community garden or are already gardeners to some extent and just want a lot more information. Certainly the most current information that's science-based from the University of California. But we also have a lot of materials, printed matter materials, in our office, and we get about 150,000 packets of seed donated to us by several of the large companies, specifically so that that seed will go to low-income people.
And you're part of three organizations, aren't you? Affiliated with some other organizations?
Well, in our cooperative extension office, let me back up a bit. The University of California is split into two sections. One section is the academic side, which is made up of the campuses, and that's the side that most people are aware of. The other side of the university is cooperative extension, and we have an office in every county in California. And what kind of expertise through the advisors that's available in each of those counties depends on what is going on in that county, who the clientele is. In Los Angeles County, we are primarily people. So we have three separate programs in our office. The first is the 4-H program, which many people immediately think of kids raising animals for a county fair. That does happen in our county, but by far the largest section of the 4-H program in Los Angeles County deals with after-school programs and working with kids to get them to different cultural events and out into nature and dealing with specific school things like help with homework, working on computers, that sort of thing. The second program in our office is the FNEP program. This is the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program, and its audience is people on welfare, and we give them information on how to eat more nutritionally, how to purchase food, and how to prepare it in a nutritional manner. The third program that we work with, and this is the portion that I'm the manager of, is the Common Ground Garden Program. And that itself is made up of a school garden program, the master gardeners, and the fresh from the garden volunteers. The school garden program, we are funded to create gardens in schools and work with other programs to enable all kinds of education, all the subjects that are taught on the academic side in the curriculum of the schools, to have activities coordinated in the garden. For example, learning math and science in the garden through activities there.
And who funds that?
We have three separate, the nutrition, we have a nutrition grant that is specifically activities in the garden, in the schools, that are headed toward nutrition so that the kids can learn that growing their own food is a very nutritious activity as well as educational and great fun. But we do have, it's made up of several grants each year, different grants that we apply for.
And so what are the other two sections of your organization?
The Master Gardeners are volunteers that we have one large training every year. This year, it's the end of April through the end of June. It's 10 weeks on Saturdays, and it's open to anyone in Los Angeles County, as long as their whole intent is to help low-income people grow more of their own food. Because we give the training sessions, and there's a lot of hands-on activities, so beginning gardeners are as adept at it and learn as much in the class as gardeners who have many years of gardening behind them. But everyone is required to volunteer at least 50 hours by going to the different workshops and the different gardens that we sponsor in order to help people learn how to garden.
Who owns the land that these community gardens on? I know there's many different types.
Yeah, let me back up one more. The third major program that's within the Common Ground program is the Fresh from the Garden. And that's our cooking and nutrition program that works directly into the community gardens with the Master Gardeners. The Master Gardeners are the ones that give the workshops in how to grow vegetables and fruits.
And then you distribute them, too.
No, we don't do any distribution. We are just helping people do the growing. And then the Fresh from the Garden people, the volunteers, come in and give workshops about how to prepare those particular vegetables.
Oh, if the people that grow them can prepare them.
Right. This is either in community gardens or it's in parent-teacher centers in coordination with schools that have their own garden on campus. Anyone who has been doing the growing or is close to being able to purchase fresh vegetables like at a farmer's market.
Well, what about distributing them to, can't you belong to a vegetable co-op that you buy vegetables from, that they deliver them to you from community gardens?
Well, not necessarily. A community garden, we give several models of rules that can be established and adopted by a particular group interested in establishing a community garden. But there are usually, one of the requirements is that people grow their food only for themselves or their immediate families and friends. They're usually don't allow commercial growing.
Not for sale.
Right.
And
there is, however, in quite a few areas, especially out in more rural areas, is an organization. Well, it's not an organization. It's more like a kind of growing that many farmers are subscribing to, and that is called community-supported agriculture, which really means it's just a farmer who determines that he wants to make the vegetables or fruits or whatever it is that he's growing or crafting available on a subscription basis. And that means he solicits people that on a weekly or monthly or whatever basis it is, they will receive a box or more than one box of produce or fruit or whatever the item is from them. So it helps the farmers because they know they have a direct market, and it helps consumers because they know they're getting immediately picked, fresh picked kind of food or crafts or whatever it is that the farmer is subscribing to.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to my other question. Moving
on. That kind of a function. We're purely on the educational end of showing people the best way to grow food, uh-huh. and then how to prepare it in a safe and very healthful manner.
And don't you show them how to start a community garden?
We do have a community garden startup guide on our website and in print, so that we send that to people. But it really is just guidelines, things they really need to think about, and some of the organizations that will help them get started.
Because that's why I'm asking my next question is, how do I, you know, there's an empty lot near my house myself in the valley with no fence up. How do I start a community garden? How do I have to get a hold of the landowner? Who owns the land on most of these community gardens?
Just about any possibility is who the owners are.
Do they get a tax write-off for donating their land?
It all depends on what the situation is with the landowner. It could be the city land. It could be an agency land. For example, the electricity company, it might be their land. It might be a private business. It might be a private owner. Several of the gardens in Los Angeles County were private owners. And one case I'm thinking of in particular was the house had so deteriorated that the house was being used as a drug center, and so the city was interested in getting rid of that situation. And when a group of neighbors got together and asked how they could change this lot into use it as a community garden, they worked out a deal where they got the land for $1 a year with Wow. the stipulation that there was a 5-year limit or renewal. And so
the city council,
a new garden right there.
So the city council supports and facilitates community gardens?
Generally, yes. There's usually in every council person's office and supervisorial office, there is one of the aides who whose prime interest is in enabling community gardens to get started. And much of the coordination of that kind of effort is done through the Los Angeles County Community Garden Council, which is a compendium of quite a few organizations, those of us who are interested in food security generally. And every month we have a meeting, and all community gardeners and all members of the public are welcome to come to that.
And
we meet at a community garden or community facility every month, and we move around to enable more people who don't have the ability to travel very far, or if they're getting there just by transit.
And you're mainly organic, right? And you use sustainable agriculture concepts?
Right. The university is fortunate to have a well-established sustainable agriculture program, and its pest control is more from the basis of what is called integrated pest management, which simply put means using small guns first. You just go out there and you pick snails at night or you stomp them, and then if something gets to be a real problem, then you start using the very low toxicity pesticides and moving on up the ladder from there. But in all of our teaching, that's the first thing that we promote, is that people learn how to look at their gardens and take care of things when they see them and not worry about it.
Yeah, and a lot of composting and recycling and going along with the cycles
of course.
Of the environment.
Of course.
Are you familiar, just reminded me, are you familiar with Nancy and Jack Todd and the New Alchemy Institute and stuff like that?
No, I'm not.
Or, you know, are you guys involved in any type of city planning? I mean, what do you think about the greenness of L.A.? Is there enough green area in L.A.?
Well, there's never enough green area anywhere. Certainly not in the central city.
I mean, do you use any gray water systems, things like that?
Well, again, we are just the educational end. And we try to put together people who do have the questions and those who have the answers. There's quite a few departments within the university that have done extensive research, and so we tried to put together the people who need information with those departments and those specialists that kind of information.
Do you have trouble getting water to these sites? Some of them, I suppose, have the water turned on.
Well, that, again, is part of the initial arrangements that have to be made with the landowner. Mm-hmm. Sometimes an individual can be extremely generous and say, you know, it's all there, and here are some tools, and anything you want, tell me, and I'll get it for you. On the other hand, it can be whatever the gardeners bring, that's what's available. And it is quite expensive making that arrangement with the city sometimes to get water directly to the garden. And that's certainly one of the first large considerations that have to be made, and the connections that have to be made through City Hall.
So anything on the importance? Why are community gardens important to the environment and to social change and the community?
Well, that's one of the great benefits of life, I think, is gardening, and certainly community gardens enable the whole neighborhoods to coalesce, to get together in support of their own, you know, certainly physical health by growing these great vegetables and fruits, the social health of getting together, certainly the mental health of everyone just doing the work there is, coordinating together to get the project as a whole. Always in a community garden, you have the gamut of people that are in society as a whole. You have people who just want to go and do their own individual thing, and then you have people who really want to make it a truly community effort. And all of that is really dependent on the particular groups that get together or as a garden evolves. But it's certainly the most helpful way, I think, for all of us to get together and enjoy gardening and benefit from gardening and our neighbors.
Yeah, and a lot of these pieces of property just lay there. I mean, it's a shame to just let them go into disuse completely.
Of course.
And so tell me a little more about, is cleanup a major problem with these things? Are most of them being used by drug dealers, or are they mostly, you try to go in those areas of town on purpose? Isn't that right, to benefit those areas of town?
I'm not quite understanding what your question is.
Well, I mean, community gardens, especially in downtown, there's ones in downtown L.A. and in bad areas of town. Do they tend to benefit the area?
Of course, because that is a group of people who are very proud of what they're accomplishing in their small area, and usually people are there, you know, somebody's in the garden all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Is it a diverse group that gardens? A lot of different people?
And it's dependent on the particular neighborhood and the size of the garden. If you have a garden that's only got space for 12 people, then you may or may not have a great amount of diversity, whereas even in another area that has space for 400 or 500 gardeners, the tendency certainly would be to have a greater diversity.
Young, old?
Yeah, but not necessarily. It really depends on who it is that's part of the garden. You can have greater diversity in a group of a dozen gardeners than you can in 400, depending on the neighborhoods. But certainly when you're, especially when you're getting into neighborhood areas that are close to a school, sometimes a community garden, the school either has a plot in the community garden or the school has a large area that it has devoted to a garden, and it enables the neighbors to come in and use it as a community garden. So it can work both ways. But even in a regular community garden, people, you know, grandparents will be working with their kids and their grandkids. And so there's a tremendous amount of benefit that can go on just in the passing of knowledge and life, wisdom, and all that good stuff.
All right. Anything else you want to add? Do you have any events coming up?
Well, the one great thing we do have is our yearly Master Gardener class, and that will begin on April 27th, which is a Saturday. It goes for the 10 Saturdays thereafter through the end of June. But we do have our application process, and that whole packet of information about the program, about the Master Gardener program, and about Common Ground is available now. It's both on our website and available by being sent out from our office. So if, you know, and we really want to have people who want to help Green LA come through the course. And it costs $50 for the entire session, but we do have partial scholarships available to anyone who really needs it. So that's a part of the application, just to indicate that. So people can either call our office or email our office or go to our website.
Your website is celosangeles.ucdavis.edu?
Yes.
celosangeles.ucdavis.edu. And your phone number?
The phone number at the office is 323-838-4539. And we're located in Monterey Park. People are also welcome to come directly to the office if they'd like. And certainly all community gardeners and agencies that deal with low-income gardeners are welcome to come to the office and get part of that great stash of seeds that we have. And certainly...
Are they, they're organic seeds?
Pardon me?
They're organic seeds?
Not all of them, no. There are some of the companies that we get them from that are organic. But not necessarily.
And, you know, do you know, is just as an aside, is it Virginia Davis that's the head of, do you know that name?
Yes,
the
she's
master
one of our
gardener?
Master Gardeners.
Okay, yeah, she's a patient that, I work at a medical office, and she's a patient there.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for, Yvonne?
Yvonne.
Yvonne, thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
And happy gardening.
Yes, indeed. Bye now.
Thanks, good night. All right, killradio.org, a seemingly benign thing like gardening is actually a very revolutionary tool. So I know that seems like kind of low-key for such a revolutionary station like Kill Radio, but...
Okay, that was something I did 20 years ago for killradio.org. And now, in transition... online radio station that we tried to get going during the Shadow Convention. So, yeah, the Youth Radio Project, today at 6. Check that out, by all means. Support the youth, support independent media, support the Earth. You know, we haven't been treating the Earth very well lately, and it's starting to come back on us. I think, you know, it's George Carlin said, it's not the Earth that's going anywhere, it's us that's going somewhere. So this goes out to Mother Earth. KEPW, LP, 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio. Check out KEPW.org, support independent media. And listen to the Youth Radio Project today at 6.
Plato's spawn, cold ivied eyes, snare tooth in bone and globe. Harlequins, coin pointless games, sneer jokes in parrot's robe. Two women weep, dame scarlet screen, shed sudden theater rain. Was dark in dream, the midnight queen knows every human pain. In air, fire, earth and water, word on the scales. Air, fire, earth and water, balance of change. Word on the scales, on the scales. Bishops, kings, spin judgment's blade, scratch faith on nameless graves. Harvest hags, hoard ash and sand, rack rope and chain for slaves. Who fireside fear, fermented words, then rear to spoil the feast. Whilst in the aisle the madman smiles, to him it matters drain stones of blood to wet the scaling knife. Magi blind with vision's light net death in dread of life. Their children kneel in Jesus till they learn the price of nails. Whilst all around our Mother Earth waits balanced on the
KEPWLP 97.3 FM in Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Community Radio, simulcasting on KEPW.org.
This summer, Food for Lane County will serve grab-and-go free meals for kids 18 and under at 36 locations in Lane County. They will be serving children between 2 and 18 years old. Between 11:30 and 12:30, Monday through Friday, from June 28th until September 3rd. At parks and community organizations in Coburg, Cresswell, Junction City, Eugene, Springfield, Vinita.
You're listening to KEPWLP 97.3 FM, Peaceworks Community Radio in Eugene, Oregon, and streaming online at www.kepw.org.
You may have heard about Whitebird Clinic's CAHOOTS program, but did you know that we also provide dental care? We have been for over 25 years. Our full-service dental office provides emergency, preventative, and restorative dental care and accepts most insurances. Uninsured? No problem. We have a sliding scale based on income. We can provide all the dental services you need in one place. Call today.